the Gamers Haven Podcast at gamershavenpodcast.com, and the Vorpal Network at vorpalnetwork.com are proud to present Gen Con Actual Play from Gen Con 2010.
It's game time.
Quiet, please. I am analyzing.
That's it, man. Game over, man. It's game over.
Is the next step the transplantation of the human brain?
Ballsy. Stupid, but ballsy.
Stand by for action.
Welcome to the party, pal.
Okay.
Remember, we're not dealing with an intelligence on our own level.
Bring in the logic probe!
Ooh!
End of line.
Noble Knight Games has been serving the needs of thousands of gamers worldwide since 1997. A huge selection of over 30,000 unique products, including discounts on most in-print games of up to 50% off or more. Noble Knight Games is the place for out-of-print RPGs, board games, war games, collectible card games, miniatures, and all things game-related. They ship worldwide and will purchase or trade your titles you no longer need, new, or used. Your satisfaction is guaranteed. Just visit www.nobleknight.com. Or visit our website for direct access to thousands of new, out-of-print, and in some cases, one-of-a-kind items.
This is the Vorpal Network.
And if I draw the legend chip, I put it back. I don't get to use it.
Yes, thankfully.
But, yeah, I get one of these.
I get only two, right?
You have bad luck, yes.
I don't think I have.
Nope, then you get
three. Oh, wait, no, I got bad luck. Like, yeah, put those back. Forgot.
No, you get the usual three.
There's two natural.
I get one fate chip for each of the players that I can spend on any bad guys that I, you know, happen to be running. And then if I run a bad guy who is also a wild card, because they exist as well, then I get two fate chips for them. So I've got their fate chips and my fate chips.
Mm-hmm.
Alright, so we got some reds and some whites. Sorry.
Red and a white over here.
Yep, and she got a red and two whites, and we got three whites. Red, white, white, for myself, so.
All right.
Actually, I would just begin, but I need the screen. It's
fine.
We'll be easy on you, I promise.
It's deadlines.
Okay, I don't promise that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Don't make promises you can't keep.
All right, you guys have been running around, you know, for a while together. Met on the road doesn't really matter, save for the fact that you're all traveling together as a posse for the time being, anyway. And you have made your way up to the Weird North, as it were, the Great Weird North. Across the border near Minnesota, and have been slowly riding your way across the southern portion of Canada. Now, Canada around this time is pretty interesting because for a while, no one really knows what happened or why it did, but the entire north of the country got much colder than it usually had been. And so word around the prairie is that Canadian government contacted one Dr. Hellstrom, who usually operates out of Salt Lake City, Utah, to build a device called the Winterlot, a series of basically pylons across the entire southern border of Canada, and that stopped the cold short. So, and actually made it more temperate than usual. So even during the winter, the southern portion of Canada is, it's kind of like being in San Francisco. It doesn't really get above 75 degrees. It's kind of, it's nice. And you guys are actually heading towards the town of Winnipeg. It's been very recently incorporated as a town. They just got a rail line put in through there about 6 months ago. All the trouble between the local Métis, the Creole and Canadian Indians, they have a real heavy population in this area, and the Canadian government have sort of been smoothed over. Things have been going pretty well. Winnipeg is actually, and the entire province is actually run by a Métis, who's sort of like the liaison between that province and the Dominion of Canada. So things have been going pretty well, and so you guys are on the trail, just riding your way slowly towards Winnipeg.
Are we together, or?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, you know each other. You've been riding around together for a few weeks. You've gotten into a couple scrapes, here and there.
Sure.
Mostly outlaws. Just because it's, that's what's going on.
Well, so I consider these guys to be my friends.
Yeah. Yes.
All right. So we got, who do we got here? We got Sam.
Yeah, names.
Sam Dickens.
Are we supposed to just hanging out?
Just hanging out.
Okay. We're just hanging out.
Okay. Thank you.
Yep, no problem.
Sam Dickens. I'm Jacob Wells.
Jean-Guy Lapierre.
Jean-Guy Lapierre.
Yes.
John.
John.
John. So yeah, Sam and
Jacob
and Jean. Okay.
Jean-Guy.
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 John.
So, yeah. I call you John. If you don't answer John, we got a problem.
So yeah, you guys are riding towards Winnipeg, and as you get closer to town, you notice there's some commotion. There's some commotion going on. You get in past a few of the outbuildings. You pass a
I tend
ranch.
To mumble to myself because I can't hear myself.
Well, you can hear this commotion because there are folks occasionally.
But as I ride along, I'll see that and go, oh shit.
Oh, they're firing pistols up into the air, and it looks like a celebration.
Hmm.
Like the settlement's got something special going on.
I still say, oh shit.
Don't be such a hard ass.
What?
I said, don't be such a hard ass.
Ah. Last celebration I ran into, they tried to burn me at the stake.
Yeah, yeah.
Gee, I wonder why that was mon ami.
Yeah, I just have a way with people, I don't know.
So, real quick, what's bringing you guys to Winnipeg?
I'm a dime novel author, so I just travel around trying to find plots and people to write about.
Awesome.
So hooked up with these guys because this guy seems like he's got some interesting things happened in his past. And he's got a story to tell.
Of course, it's all bullshit, but you know.
Yeah. Bullshit sells.
Yeah. And, John, how about you?
My section of the motherland got covered in snow, but it's good to come back.
Alright.
I'm just wandering.
Alright.
And this guy seems to keep following me around.
Yeah.
In the original background for that character, his raison d'etre was to find out what caused the explosion. So
that's what I'm wondering about doing.
If you want to use that, go for it. Well, you guys, go in, and people are just in high spirits.
They're all in high spirits, and I'll stop my horse, and get out my pistol, and check to see if it's loaded.
It is indeed loaded. So you guys looking for a saloon?
I have a pistol, probably pistol, shotgun, and rifle at this point. So.
Yep, that probably makes good sense. Is it a shotgun or a scattergun?
It's probably a scattergun.
Okay.
You always go celebrate with an ale or a beer or something along those
I'm
lines.
I'm hungry.
Okay. All right, well.
I don't know about you guys. I'm plum peckered.
Okay, you guys crop your way into town, and it's not a huge settlement. On a good day, it's about 3,000 people. But yeah, you find a central square, and as you're riding in, you sort of look off to the left, and it looks like a gallows is being built.
That seems cheery.
Right in front of the courthouse. And as you're coming in there, you hear people, you know, yelling out, and I'm not going to attempt to do a Canadian-French accent.
Fancy what I mean.
You know, like, death to Asher! Asher's going down! We caught that sumbitch! And there are a couple saloons, you know, on the square opposite the courthouse.
This town's got liquor.
Yes, it do.
Sounds good to me.
So you guys
have good beer, too.
Dismount and tie up your horses and
that horse piss you had down south.
Are you looking for?
We probably don't. We don't actually work for the convention.
That's not going to know.
One drawback of choosing this place to sit against.
We're right next to the giant.
Yeah, we are, actually. I could even pick the other side and that might have been better. Anyway. You find a tavern across the sign. It's got.
Dismount. Take one stern look at my horse. Point at the rail and say stay.
It sort of it actually like lifts its head and tosses its reins over the hitching post.
And without looking back at him, I walk towards the saloon.
Get down. Hitch up my pants. Tie up my horse because I'm not a giant show off.
Yeah, and it I mean, it takes you. You're like, hip.
Yeah, I don't move fast.
And like you hear the horse give a sigh of relief.
Oh God!
God. When I say hitch up my pants, what I actually mean is hitch my gut up off and over my pants.
The sign on the end has a picture of a booted foot kicking over a rusty bucket. And,
yep, smells like my kind of place.
And you walk in, and there's a bunch of people in there celebrating. There's a poker game going on over here. There's a faro game going on the next table over. People, you know, nursing bottles of whiskey, and you guys walk in, and someone comes in and says, "Hey! Asher's getting strung up on the Mari, and I'm buying you all drinks," and he passes out.
Well, you heard the man.
So we look in his pockets and no, get our drink.
Bartender, this man's buying us three drinks.
Oui, monsieur. Yes. My name is Jean-Philippe. If you need anything, let me know.
Yet another John.
Jean.
Whatever.
John.
So what are you ordering?
Whiskey.
Canadian beer. I like the horse piss down south.
I see you are from our great country.
Yeah, oui.
One beer. Merci bien.
All right, so yeah, you guys get whiskey. You get a beer. And of course, and he slides a whiskey chaser. Yeah, or other way around. I see fit.
I hate this blended crap. I need some.
This is not blended. This is Canadian.
It's not cut at all. Not today. It
still ain't right.
It'll put hair on your chest or take it off, depending on your flavor.
Shall I start the tab for you, monsieur?
Yep.
Your name, sir?
Jacob.
One tab for Jacob. Yes.
We're also looking for rooms.
Rooms? I have the best rooms in Winnipeg.
I'll take your word for that.
I'm also looking for a chicken fried steak.
Chicken and steak fried.
You serving grub still?
May we?
Three plates of grub.
And he snaps, and a serving girl comes over, and basically, I mean, the food here isn't terribly different from anyplace else in the West. It's some piece of meat. Could be beef. Could be pork.
I've learned not to ask questions.
It could be bison.
Figure it's beef or pork if we're lucky.
It could be horse.
Yep. I tuck into it with gusto.
There's a pile of beans. And here there's even some mashed potatoes. And you actually spy something green on the plate. You're not sure what it is.
The hell is that?
But it's green. Monsieur, that is the cream spinach.
Right.
Doctors say eat some. It's good.
Doctor who?
Exactly. Wait. It's ahead of my time.
Not ahead of his.
I knew a doc once. I didn't eat anything he gave me.
Well, we do keep a dog around for just such emergencies.
Jean-Guy takes his shot of whiskey, puts it on the table,
and the dog
picks up
comes
his
over.
Beer, and starts drinking and going, this will clear the flavor.
Yeah, and I'll look at the dog as he comes up, and I'll spoon it off the plate, toss it at the dog.
The dog just catches it in his mouth.
And now, proceed to eat.
Alright, yeah, you guys tuck in your meal, and all the while... It's just, I mean, everyone's just in rare spirits over Ashley. You guys over here, without even trying, tons of conversations about how this guy was the most notorious outlaw. He'd been plaguing Winnipeg for almost a year now, and even once they got the rail line installed, things didn't get better. They were expecting to really start booming a little bit with the rail traffic coming through, and Asher kept raiding rail cars. And rustling cattle, stealing horses, and finally they caught him. Just a week ago they caught him. And he's due to be hung by the neck until dead tomorrow.
Joy.
So it was
breakfast came to show.
It was venturing into late afternoon when you guys arrived. Is there anything special you wanted to take care of in town before?
When I finish my meal and I'm looking at the last drink out of my...
The last drink of the beer?
Yeah. I finish it off, put it on the table, and go, my new friend will buy me a beer, and go over to the gambling table.
Okay.
I'm content to stay at my table and eat my food and drink my whiskey.
Did you ask for the bottle?
Yes, I do.
Okay. You've got a bottle, you're about halfway down at this point in time.
Mm-hmm.
So are you going to join in the card game?
Oh yeah.
And I find a place where...
will get me my beer.
And I find a place where my back is to the wall.
All right.
Yeah, I'm just listening. I figure there'll be plenty of time for asking questions tomorrow, so I'm just listening to eavesdrop in tonight. Get me real.
All right. Let's see. We're actually going to do this the real way.
And I will, of course, keep my eye on him because he's always getting himself into some sort of trouble.
I don't know what you're talking about. I doubt that.
John over here usually can handle himself.
I'm not close enough to correct you.
Oh, that's right. It doesn't have... The new gambling rules are in the errata. So, real quick, we're going to play a couple hands of poker.
Alright.
Just so we can find out how well or poorly she does. I could just have you make a gambling roll, but...
gambling at six.
That's true. Okay. How many hands are you going to be in for?
Gonna go for a few hands.
Okay, it's dollar ante.
Okay.
So make your gambling check. Every success you get means that you break even.
Okay.
A raise means you have to win that hand, and you're gonna basically rake in a full pot. It's gonna be between $1 and $4, most likely.
Okay.
So
this one explodes.
Yep. Which one's your wild die?
My wild die.
Okay.
10.
All right, so 10, yeah, that's a success and almost two raises. So, yeah, you grab up, you get $2 off that one.
Okay. Now, same as that me, and I order another beer?
Oh, yeah. They send it right over.
Again, explodes. My purple die loves me.
It does.
Explodes.
Okay.
You just won a lot of money.
17. Well,
17.
Okay, you successfully bluff your way through that by quite a bit. On a 4, a 17 is a success and 3 raises. So yeah, you actually rake in a pretty healthy pot, and you're already starting to get kind of dirty looks.
Well, I get up, I go, merci mes amis, and I buy them around before I go.
Merci bien!
Occasionally, guys, like drunk guys, will come over to me and put their arm around me, and I'm like, yeah, yeah, viva revolution.
But yeah, you actually end up
get
with an extra $12 in your pocket.
It's like, yeah, yeah, viva revolution, get away. Go away.
Alright, so yeah, you guys just pass the evening. you don't hear anything particularly special, unless you'd like to make a check to get more than what's just going on.
Yeah, I'm going to dig a little.
It'd either be notice or investigation.
I'll roll investigation.
Okay, and don't forget your wild die.
Yeah. So.
Alright, the wild die aces. Alright, so that's a total of 7.
Yep.
Alright, I mean, everyone just seems really thrilled that, you know, this has happened. There are, I mean, you catch the occasional side conversation here and there wondering about what's going to happen to Asher's gang.
Right.
Because he did have a posse, you know, that he rode with. But by and large, people are just really excited to be done with all this. You guys, if nothing else happens, passes the evening.
I am doing strenuous training for my mastery of chi.
Okay.
Yes.
So are you going to...
So she's having a training montage.
I'm having a training montage. It looks kind of like this.
The legend. I am the tiger. The dinner, the fight, fancy.
Yep, to the montage and the French-Canadian drinking his beer. Song.
Okay. Yeah, like it stops. It stops and you wipe sweat off your brow. Take a sip of you just
wave
chug
down
a beer.
The barmaid again.
But yeah, you guys pass the rest of the evening. The innkeeper inquires at some point in time how many evenings you intend to stay.
Well, we gotta see the hanging.
Yep.
And we gotta see what happens after the hanging.
If you are going to be staying for longer than 3 nights, I shall need just a small deposit for the room.
3 nights it is.
3 nights it is.
Very good, sir. You can, of course, extend your stay should you so choose.
Yep.
The rate is $1.50 per night.
Sounds good.
The meal is going to cost you a whopping 50 cents. It's like 75 cents a shot of whiskey and... Because it's good whiskey, you know.
Good shit.
And the beer's a quarter, you know. So, all right. Well, you guys.
We mass produce it. We just have to tap into the ground, and there's a spring that pops
you
up.
You guys pass the evening. I need both of you to make me vigor checks real quick.
Vigor would be under strength.
It is. It's its own attribute. Oh. Yep.
You don't roll wild die.
You do.
Yes. My wild die was in the wrong room. 8.
And, well, 8, it aces.
Oh,
so,
that's
yeah.
True. 8 on an 8, yeah. 8 plus 5. So, 13.
13.
You sleep like a baby. You wake up not feeling
He's
so refreshed.
Keeping me up.
Exactly. Because your night's
errors
are...
I never sleep well.
No. You pretty much have a permanent fatigue level walking around.
Yeah.
You now have a fatigue level as well.
I drank mother's milk.
Normally, you guys are out in the open, and the sound, you know... It doesn't bother you as much because you've got other sounds to cover it up. In the room this close, it's thrashing around and yeah. So if you want to just put a marker of some kind on that fatigue level, if you end up getting a good night's sleep or something like that, then you'll be fine. The hanging has taken place an hour after sunrise.
I'm generally up before everyone else. So
yeah.
So I only get 4 hours of sleep, Tosh.
Yep, exactly.
Beer's better than warm milk for sleeping, so I'll be up.
You better have a good story. Because I ain't getting any damn sleep when I'm hanging out with you.
You can sleep with the horse next time.
So you guys trundle on downstairs.
You're like, heard that okay.
And there's already a crowd. You know, gathered out in the square. It looks like most of the town has turned out to see this. There are, of course, people still working, like the livery is still going, and, you know, banks and whatnot. But not too terrible long after you guys make your way downstairs, and breakfast is complimentary with the rooms. So you've got, you know, bacon, eggs, and strong coffee.
Canadian bacon.
A guy in a marshal's badge riding through town. Behind him, walking with his hands tied behind his back, he's got a black hood around his head and a noose around it.
Mm-hmm.
Like if the horse breaks into a trot, he is one stumble away from being dragged.
Yep.
Like, and he's just keeping up. And, you know, people are jeering at him, and they're throwing food and stale things. And
I'll take my plate and actually step outside the saloon onto the boardwalk or whatever.
Well, you walk out on the wooden boardwalk. The hitching post is right there, and there's like an island of space around your horse, which means that your horses are both, you know, like your horses are, the people aren't crowding in against them. There's just something about that horse is.
And I'll stand in basically in front of my horse, my plate in my hand, eat, and the horse will also eat off the plate.
Yep.
And I'm watching basically the parade of people go down. I'm looking for, because I'm thinking worst case scenario that this dude's posse's showing up. So I'm looking through for anyone who doesn't look like they're having a celebration.
Make me nose check.
That would be unskilled.
Yep.
I'm not learning to get the bolt.
I actually learned after listening to your first Deadlands session, it's not a D4, it's the trait halved.
Whatever. Really?
Yeah.
It used to be a D4 minus 2.
What you were running is the link trait.
Ah.
Okay. I figured that's a nicer way to do it than the D4.
That would be a big 9, so it'd be a 4, actually.
Okay, well, yeah. You're looking around, and on some of the more official buildings, the bank, courthouse, you spot some guys, you catch the glint off that little shiny star on their chest, and they've got Winchesters. They're keeping an eye on things. They're not celebrating, but they're also not looking for trouble. They're the ones to keep trouble down.
Okay.
Looks like there have been some extra folks deputized for this this special event.
Regardless, I'll take the loop off of my hammer there.
Yep, yeah, you pop the strap and just stretch real quick, and your knuckles crack. And are you guys inside, outside, USA?
Oh, I'm outside. All right. I'm just checking out what's going on.
After he's done eating the hopefully very greasy meal, he'll step outside because that. Part of the training as well.
Yeah. All right. Well, yeah. The sun crests just above the roof line, and it's coming from the east, which you guys are on the east side of town. So the sun hits the square and illuminates the gallows, and the clock goes shunk, and it's like, you know, 2 minutes till 8, but it just makes that loud clunky noise.
Chunk.
Exactly.
Right.
And the marshal dismounts and, you know, whistles and snaps his fingers, and two deputies, you know, come out of the crowd, untie the guy, take his hood off, and he's a raw bone looking guy, real weather beaten. He's got greasy black hair down to about here, a real prominent aquiline nose, just a hawk nose. And they take him and they shove him forward, and he stumbles onto the steps. And when he turns, like to glance back at them, he's grinning.
I'll stay under my breath and go.
and they take him up there and step him up on the stool. Normally, even in the West, the hood is on when the guy is going to get.
Yeah.
They don't put the hood on. They loop it around his neck. Two or three people check that it's. I mean, they check the rope. They check the knot at the top. They check. You know, they test the trap door before he goes on there, and they snug it right around there. And the marshal walks up, and, you know, pulls a piece of paper out of his pocket, unfolds it, and just begins reading to the crowd. Henri Leboeuf, also known as Asher, which you might have actually even heard of this guy. It's actually a bastardization of acheté, to take, in French. So
acheté is to buy.
Whatever.
For the purposes of this story,
yes, it is. Pardon me, my French is rusty. You have been found guilty of crimes against the city of the Principality of Winnipeg. You have been found guilty of, and he just starts a laundry list of crimes. Larceny, grand larceny, petty theft, and horse thieving,
Jean-Pierre
murder.
Just whistles a little softly to himself, you know, just a little impressed. Yeah. But, you know.
And I mean, it runs all the way to conspiracy, train robbery. It says, and you have been sentenced to be hung by the neck until dead. And he spits to the side, turns. Do you have any last words? And it's like someone turned the ambient noise off. The whole town is dead silent. And you can hear his voice. You guys are like 50 yards away across the town square. You can hear his voice ringing out clear as day. It's like he's just speaking. But it rings out and you hear him say, bury me with my guns on. And the marshal spits again and steps down and signals, and the guy chunk, and the thing drops, and he and twitches, jerks, and everyone's just watching. His eyes are bulging out of his head, his tongue's protruding, turning purple, and he and eyes straight open, buys it, and they let a full 5 minutes pass before they do anything. They walk up, the doctor checks the pulse, lifts the arm, drops it, kicks his leg. I mean, they're making sure of this guy.
Kids poking with the stick.
Yep. And you see the big man in the coroner's hat, you know, begins pulling out the big thing and says, the time of death was, and the crowd just goes nuts. The party doubles, you know, and everyone's just having a grand old time. They cut him down, unceremoniously toss him in a pine box on the back of the small cart drawn by two black horses, and they roll him out of town, and people are following and cheering, and they get to the edge of town, and you know, deputies ward him off because they're going to take him. He doesn't get anything but an unmarked grave, so they're just taking him out and, you know, putting him under. So yeah, the party continues.
Did he have his guns on or off? Did he have his guns on or off?
It does not look like they strapped the guns to him.
Disrespecting the dead,
isn't it? Oh, he wasn't dead at the time.
Well, disrespecting the final wishes of the dead.
So, what are you guys doing? Just taking in the scene, or...?
I'm taking in the scene, right. And I'll start, you know, asking around a little bit about this guy and what he did, do this history.
All right.
I'll also inquire as to where they're burying him.
Okay. Make me an investigation check.
Be a mighty two, so yeah.
A mighty two. You basically find out what you heard him.
Sure.
Yeah. I mean, people are like, oh, he was just the meanest son of a bitch. I mean, you hear everything from I heard he killed his mother and Edder. I swear to God, my cousin's nephew told me that.
Bet so.
And when you ask about the burial location, all you get are just a series of epithets about how he's not even good enough to be buried in a grave. He just deserves to be tossed out of town like the coyotes deal with.
I'm going to ask around about his last words.
All right.
To people in the area. And that seemed a little strange.
Roll an investigation check.
So
that's a success in a raise.
Yeah.
You hear a lot of people just say how, well, he was always just bold as brass, you know, never, even before, you know, he did turn sideways like that, never did give a damn about anything. You catch, in whispers here and there, you catch how, you know, he never really was quite right in the head after a while, that just weird things always seem to happen around him. Can't really get anything concrete. Like, no one seems put out by it. You know, no one was like, oh my God, I can't believe he said that. There doesn't seem to be any special significance to it. But, you know, people find it a little odd, arrogant in the extreme, you know, that he would say something that bold just before he's about to have his neck pop. But
right,
that's about all you get. John, you doing anything?
Give me a second. Good. I'm writing down my points for my powers.
Sure.
yeah, he'll go and spend time with the other Jean. Try him up.
Yeah.
Spending some of his hard-earned gambling money.
Okay. In doing so, I won't even ask for a role for it because you sort of have an end with him being of the mother country, the motherland.
Being of the Canadian persuasion.
Yeah, of the Canadian persuasion. Exactly. You basically get the same kind of stuff that I've let them know about. He wasn't originally from this area, so, you know, he came in and, you know, worked in the horse stable for a while before, you know, stuff started disappearing around him, and people started fingering him for it, and he lit out of town one time and then came back with a whole posse. You know, and that was the start of his run as Asher instead of Henri Leboeuf, so...
And do they know, like, where his posse came from? Which is other settlements?
Just random vagrants from around.
Okay.
He always seemed to be able to draw people to him.
He picked up the strings.
Exactly. But they, you know, some of the people that were following after him were, you know, just the local toughs who were more talk than they were walk.
Yeah.
And they all seemed to start shooting a little bit straighter after he came around. Like, he just had a way with people.
Right.
The force of presence, you know.
Okay.
Alright, basically that you guys can spend the rest of the day, you know, doing that. The mayor's basically declared this day a holiday. Tomorrow, back to status quo, you know, people get back to work and everything. But the party goes on through the day, into the afternoon, and into the evening. You know, everything seems well until just a little after sundown. You need you all to make me notice checks. This is a minus two for you, because it's ears.
One eye?
No, you're fine.
Okay.
No, for him.
Talking to me.
Notice.
So divided in half, then minus two?
Uh-huh.
That would be a two.
Okay. I didn't give him notice, really.
Nope.
I don't have anything in notice either. So 5 divided by 2?
Yep.
3 divided by 2.
So. Alright, yeah, you guys are in effectively the Rusty Bucket, which is the name of the place. And you don't, I mean, it's just a big hooting and hollering, you don't hear a whole lot of anything until it's a bit of a commotion outside and someone else runs in and suddenly you hear people like start whispering about something, like a rumor's just getting passed around like wildfire. And it turns out that somewhere in a house not too far away, just off the main square, two bodies have been found.
Is anyone saying which two bodies?
If you want to ask about it, you
ambling over to the barkeep. He should hear everything within a short amount of time.
Yeah, he's actually talking to someone about it. And, they're sort of muttering back and forth in French. Even though it's not on there, you speak French.
Yeah.
So, and they're talking about how the banker and his wife, they are Henri Monteau and Jeunesse Monteau.
Okay.
They're dead. Their throats were ripped out.
Okay.
This is what people are saying. And it sort of put a chill over everything.
So I'm gonna ask around, be like, you think it was Usher's gang? You think they're getting revenge?
You can what check would that be? Is there
investigation?
Yeah, investigation. That'll work.
So,
I mean, yeah, you don't. They sort of look at you and go back to muttering in French.
Right.
You know.
Yeah, go to them and just let them know the Montos apparently got their necks ripped out. They're the bankers.
Yeah, banker and his wife.
Seems peculiar. Dying on the same day Asher died.
Yep. Better find out what's going on with his gang before they come after us, because it usually ends up that way.
I've been hanging out with him long enough that I know that that's actually true.
Yes, exactly. Very, very, very valid point. All right.
We always look on the bad side of things, Monami. All
right. Well, you guys.
Well, when I start living on the good side of things, I'll let you know.
You guys head over the direction of their
house. I can
buy
you another round, Monami.
Yeah, I'm gonna go track down the marshal.
Okay. Well, you ask around a little bit, and he is in fact. People point you over in the direction that other people also indicate as the Montau house. So he's there.
All right.
And you go to walk up. And one of the deputies says, "No, monsieur. Sorry. The marshal is inside. This is a crime scene."
Yep. I'd like to talk to the marshal.
I'm afraid he is busy, sir.
All right, then I'm talking to you.
Very well, monsieur.
Name's Jacob Wells. I understand you got a bandit problem.
Possibly, monsieur. I cannot discuss an ongoing investigation, unfortunately.
Fascinating. Let me talk to the marshal, then.
He is a good persuasion or intimidate check away from... Like, this guy is as wet behind the ears as they come.
Son?
You ever been to NAMM?
Son, I've seen dead bodies in my day. I'm sure the ones in there probably pretty gruesome.
I cannot currently discuss an ongoing...
Yep. Pretty gruesome all around. I'm sure there's lots of blood.
He's turning a little bit green.
Maybe it's a little bit, you know...
I don't know if you guys... can get a hold of housekeeping or whatever.
We don't actually work for the...
Yeah. Oh, you're just sitting here?
Yeah, yes. All the other spaces are taken.
Before.
Is this official?
We try.
We're not sitting here next time.
Yeah, no. Well, I'm sure there's a lot of splatter, maybe some things dripping from the ceiling. I wonder, remember that time we were in Detroit? All those, when those guts were spilled out.
You could smell those a block away.
It was terrible.
No even need to make a check.
He goes, grits.
Pardon?
Oh. It's all right there, son.
And while he's puking, I just walk right
in. Sorry, son. Why don't you have a sit down?
Nice sleep, Devin.
We miss your... I think that is a good idea.
And I'll walk in.
And you open the door, and, I mean, it's a big house, but the smell of blood wafts out, you know, and...
Oh, yeah.
And he goes... He's just dry heaving at this point in time.
Pat him on the back. Go on in. As I'm walking in, I just go... Whistle and go, horse, you can look after him.
From across the square, you hear this whinny. And the horse, you know, you look over and like 30 seconds later, your horse there.
Also, probably the dog at the tavern is now following.
Yeah. The horse comes over.
And when we come up to the door, I just look at him and he sits. And stays outside while we go in.
The horse sort of noses at the guy's face, starts licking his face, long, slow horse licks. The dog comes up. The dog comes up and like gets his nose underneath. He actually gets his nose underneath the guy's hand. Like, pet me. Hey, I'm gonna distract you because I'm a nice dog.
Uh-huh.
Yep.
And I'll go inside. Yeah.
Oh, you walk inside. Some of you guys are... You went in first, so...
Oh, yeah.
I'm still at the bar. I do not know how bad he is treating my countrymen right now.
Okay. You guys walk in, and there's a large drawing room just right in there, and I mean, you see the marshal stand there with another deputy who looks not too many shades better than the one that you just left. And there are two bodies lying on the floor there, a man and a woman, both in upper scale Victorian era clothing. You know, you've got the finely tailored suit and the fancy dress with the ridiculous bodice and the, you know, the bottom piece that looks like it could house an entire small family, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And they're both lying there, staring up at the ceiling. There is indeed splatter all over the place. And you look and their throats have been torn out.
Yes, and I'm standing in the entryway looking in, you know, you made it there before we did.
Yeah,
so.
I'm just, they're just goddamn shit.
And all I can go, ain't that a mess?
The marshal turns around and says, "Qu'est-ce que c'est? Who is this?"
Howdy, Marshal. Pat him on the shoulder as I step past him.
Who let this man into my crime scene?
Man, this is a mess. I haven't seen something like this since Dodge.
You get out of here. This is an official investigation.
Kneel down. Look at the body a little bit.
Looks like you might need some help here.
We are completely capable of... And you start poking at a few things, and you push one of the... You just accidentally nudge one of the bodies, and the guy's head... flops, and
yep.
an extra just the way the pressure, you know, aligned, an extra little spurt goes, and the deputy who's standing there with him runs off and pukes in a vase, and the marshal goes, "Mon Dieu, maybe I do need some of your help."
I got a.
Who are you?
I'm looking at the body, and you know, since I used to be a marshal, I'm just going along the assumption I've seen nasty crap, especially back.
Oh yeah, you're fine. You need to make me a guts check when you see this. It's a skill under vigor. No, under spirit.
There's
guts there.
Yeah,
it's just a plain guts check.
Just a plain spirit check. So your spirit's pretty high. So 7-3.
You
don't
still add your grit in.
You always add your grit into a guts check. So you got a 4. Yeah. It's shit. You're like, ugh. I mean,
you don't want to be as close as I am.
Yeah. It's not anything supernatural, so your doubting Thomas doesn't come into it.
Right.
But it's just it's a grim scene to see, and it just it rattles you a little bit, but you're okay. You start sweating a touch.
Right.
You know, but you're, you know, a big guy, so you sweat a whole lot anyway.
Start to feel that bacon moving around.
Exactly. It's just food's crawling around inside.
It's that Canadian bacon.
Yeah.
Doesn't sit right.
So, make an investigation check?
I got a 5.
Okay. You actually, it looks like, something with claws, not teeth necessarily, but claws, rip their throats out. And you're looking around as well, and you actually spot a small scrap of paper lying in the guy's hand. Doesn't look like the marshal's seen it.
Look at him go, "So you found him, Marshal?"
Yes, this is how we found them. When the cry went up, we came here immediately. Aside from the...
Pluck the paper out of the dude's hand.
What is this?
Open it up and look at it.
And on there written is a small poem, both in French and in English. And it reads, "Bury me with my guns on, so when I reach the other side, I can show them what it feels like to die. Bury me with my guns on, so when I'm cast out of the skies, I can shoot the devil right between the eyes."
Mm-hmm. Someone's got a sick sense of humor, Marshall. And the note to him.
And he begins reading it, and he turns just a couple shades paler, and I have no idea what this may mean. It can't be Asher, obviously.
He's just trying to throw you.
How would...
I reckon.
He was storing up this morning. There is no way that it could be anything... perhaps his gang. Yes, that must be it.
Might not even be his gang.
Marshall, I reckon you ought to show me where you buried him.
Well, why could that possibly have to do with anything?
Yeah. Well, obviously this has something to do with it.
Just what are you saying?
And if it is his gang, they might just be foolhardy enough to go dig him up.
Oh, very well, very well. And he grabs the deputy who is done puking in the base and says, "You take him to the burial site." And he's like, "Get these people out of my hair." You know, and he glances over and, "Wait, Mister."
Oh, and Marshall, you probably want to clean this up. It's going to get kind of rank in here.
He gives you an extremely dirty look and curiously, you know, shows you. Now, are you guys going to go back to the tavern and get Jean? Or?
Mm-hmm.
Alright.
Okay, deputy, we got to stop you, Meg. Like, I thought you were with us, I'm sorry.
No, he was drinking. Listen. I mean, he was training.
The marshal said to take you to the...
Yep.
Got a friend to pick up.
Emma.
And
so when I spot them, it's like,
you snap your fingers and the horse trots over. The dog comes to your other side.
We'll walk over to the tavern.
Looks like there's a rat following the dog.
Probably. Come to meet my jungle friend.
When I spot them with the deputy, it's like, make your friends like always, mon ami.
Yeah, and I'll just stand outside and look through the window at you and wait until you notice me.
Finish my beer,
you feel
put
eyes
it down,
on the back
get
of your head. You think you have an eye-shaped tattoo now.
That's
it's just
let's right. Go, you know, making friends like always, mon ami, and I finish my beer and I put it down and then I
the,
head
the
outside.
Dog walks over and laps some beer out of the glass.
There's no beer left in the glass.
It tried.
He goes,
it's a sad dog.
It is. Well, the deputy, you know, goes over. He actually, you know, leads you over to the marshal's office where he has a horse for himself hitched up.
Yeah.
And you've got.
See, we'll get on our. I'm sure we'll get on our horses at the tavern.
Oh yeah. Yeah. And he's like walking. He's like,
I don't walk.
Yeah. walks over and he gets his horse and. It looks like he's not terribly good with the horse, like it's tossing its head. And
after a few tries with it, I'll just whistle.
I say, you can ride on mine if you need, and my horse like rolls its eyes.
Well, your horse is like the one from Robin Hood Men in Tights. It's Farfan Kugel. It's a draft horse. But yeah, your horse sort of it tries to buck a little bit when you say that. And you hear a pop like, in its lower back.
Don't have fun. Awesome.
But you whistle, and the horse just stops and whickers at your horse. And he shoots you another look. He mounts up on the horse and says, follow me.
My horse and horse says, shut the fuck up.
See who would.
You're embarrassing yourself.
Well, he takes you to the edge of town. Gets to the edge and he actually pulls out a lantern, you know, lights it up, just a general all around lantern, and has it out there with him. And he takes you for a ride just about a half mile outside of town, and there's a small area. It's just roughly cordoned off of rocks. Not even like a row of them, but like there's a rock here and a rock here. And if you look closely, you can see that it's a roughly square area. And it looks like there's a few other like small mounds of dirt that have, you know, scrub growing over them now. Like, they don't really care too kindly for their deceased criminals.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So this is Boot Hill.
Exactly. Right. And he walks you over and he stops and gasps. And you guys.
We're
ride
still,
over.
Still on our horses, or is it a?
Yeah. Oh yeah. You can easily get in there. And he's muttering to himself in French and crosses himself. And you look down.
So with the muttering, do I get any idea what they're doing? Because no one told me what we're doing. Just like, you know, I'm here with the deputy.
I figured you'd be filling him in. I ain't talking.
Did you fill him in on the
yeah, yeah,
yeah. So you heard what you heard. But he's saying, you know, he's basically muttering the Lord's Prayer.
Okay.
Because he stopped right in front of an area that guesses where Asher is buried. And you look and there's a hole in the ground.
That's what I would do too.
Dismount.
Alright, you do so.
And I start looking around.
Okay.
I'm just going to scan the surroundings.
Okay. Make an investigation check. Investigation check. We're not official.
Do you know where Pennsylvania room is, though?
All the rooms are that away.
Okay, thank you.
6, 7, 8, 9.
Okay. Hey, you take a look at the, at the area, and you can see where the dirt was freshly turned to make, you know, the grave itself. The hole is like if someone's laying down, you know, head to toe, the hole is up near where the upper torso would be. And you're kind of looking at it. There are no piles of dirt around as if dug and flung.
It looks like whoever was in, yeah.
Up and out,
of course.
I'm looking down there going, yep. Looks like he crawled his way out of his own grave.
That's ridiculous.
Roll me a knowledge call.
Yep. No.
Nope. Okay.
Can I just tell the deputy, he doesn't drink as much as me and what I mean, but he does not hold his liquor well.
Yep.
And I'm going on and on about how I have a theory that they dug the body up to make it look like he came back. So he was trying to... It's all a charade. I don't believe a word of this mess.
Well, the deputy is just standing there completely flabbergasted. You can't... When you say that, he begins, like, voicedly saying the Lord's Prayer. And he's just standing repeatedly. He just, every so often he crosses himself. And it's like he's just going through the Paternoster over again. You let him go for a little while and he starts into the Hail Marys.
He's doing the rosary by heart.
Pretty much. And like, actually, you look at his left hand, which is near his gun belt.
He's doing the
and,
thing.
Well, it's twitching as if he should have beads in his hand.
Rosaries, right? Yeah. I'll get up. You know, get up from my crouch and walk over to him. Is he just staring at the grave?
He is on his horse, staring at the grave, just...
I'll go...
Mon Dieu!
You can say that again.
What?
Yeah, she said it multiple times before that.
Best not to question it. First of all, I need to know where this boy's guns are. Second of all, I need to know who he held a grudge against in town.
He stops and thinks, and his possessions, his guns would be in the lockup back at the marshal's office. And he mutters in French again. It's obviously that English is not his first language. And he,
John,
and
I translate.
Merci bien.
And he
also says that his horse is at the marshal's stables as well. They were going to try and auction it off to someone who wouldn't know any better. It's a fine horse, but it's the horse of a murderer. You know,
right?
They kept all his things at the marshal's place. We just left there, no?
And
looks like we're going back to town.
And he also says, "I'm sure I heard, obviously via translation, I'm sure I heard the marshal talking about people he held a grudge against, but for the life of me, I can't remember.
And the people he held the grudge against, also at the marshal's office.
I do know that the banker and his wife were, oh God, and like you've seen this before. You see the puzzle pieces falling into place, and he wigs out.
Hold him off the horse.
Boy, I say boy.
Hey.
Let's see.
Boy's about as sharp as a bowling ball. Round.
About as smart, too.
I guess it doesn't really matter what... He's garnering a taste for the Weird West at this point in time.
Sure.
He's
Well, I'll like literally pull him up so he's half in his saddle and basically I'm half holding him up.
All right, yeah.
And I'll like, hey, this ain't no time to lose your gut. Mm. Or it's like, this ain't time to become yellow.
Oh, here we go. That's the table I want.
I quirk an eyebrow and translate.
Okay.
Yeah, and I use some sort of, you know, slang term as far as, you know, that I can't think of off the top of my head right now. It's like, this ain't no time to...
Yeah. Is it? Yeah. Yeah, I gotcha. Lose your marbles is a good...
Right.
Yeah, that'll work. Well, you seem to calm him down enough to, you know, get you back there. You guys can find your way back to town, okay? He's tending to ride his horse off in the wrong direction. Absent-minded.
Well, that's, yeah. He starts doing that. I just whistle at the horse.
Ah, and the horse just back and to the left. Back
and to the left.
Back and to the left. Just follows off to the side of your horse. So, yeah,
we'll go back to town.
All right. Are you going back to Marshall's office? Or are you guys going back to?
He said Marshall's
crime scene. All right.
Yeah, to the Marshall's.
You go to the Marshall's office. There's no one really around right now. Most of the deputies that have been, you know, badged for the day, their job's done. It's usually just the Marshall and the two wet behind the ears deputies. You know, the other ones with the Marshall, who's not here, you assume he's still at the crime scene, but.
Okay.
So you've got the absent-minded one here with you. Mm-hmm. There's a set of keys jingling on his belt.
I'm like steering him.
Yep.
Like off the sort of steering him. Sit him down on the step.
Oh, why are we?
Take the keys off him.
Why are we back here?
Oh. Pet him on the head. And I go up and unlock the marshal's office.
Oh, a dog. Oh shit. On the meat. Starts pet, like, yeah.
And I'll walk back and just take the star off of his chest and just go pin it on him. Going on the
third time this week.
Alright, you head into the marshal's office. There are a few gas lamps light in the interior. Because it is nighttime. And it's, you know, it's the usual setup. There's a desk in front. He has a room off to the side with a door that can shut. There's a rig on the other side just with cells. And, yeah, it's a small place. You're familiar, you know. Okay. So, what are you looking for?
I'm going to be looking for what looks like, you know, normally in a marshal's office, you know, at least in mine, it was locked in a desk drawer or something like that. So, I mean, I'm looking there first off, you know.
Yeah.
Just looking for, you know, where he would be locking that stuff up.
There's nothing in the main desk, but in the marshal's office itself, there is one drawer that is more reinforced than the others. And he has a journal of some kind sitting on the desk, and
look in the journal.
Yeah. You look in the journal and you see the last couple of dates. You sort of leaf back. Make an investigation check for me real quick.
Hey, John, you might want to go check, see if this feller's horse is still there. BA5.
Okay. Yeah, you leave through. I assume you're trying to find...
And see if you can find the marshal. Somebody.
Alright, so you're leaving through the journal. Are you going to go...
I'll roll my eyes and go around and check the stables.
Okay.
But I have no clue where the marshal was.
Right, are you going to go...
The marshal's maybe still down.
I'm getting a funny feeling. I don't really want to leave the marshal's office.
You armed?
I got a gun.
I'm always armed. Two arms?
Well, yeah. I'm talking to you, really.
Yeah, he's got a double-action peacemaker hanging on his hip.
Yeah. Now, you know how to... I would know you know how to use it, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
We've been traveling together.
Yeah, and you've got, you know, the small belt bandolier. You've got basically a good 2 reloads of it on you. And then there's more bullets in your bag. So just keep rough track of what you're using if it comes to that. You've got bandolier, and yeah, you're strapped up 9 ways to next Sunday.
Knife in the boot.
Yep.
Knife in the other boot. Yeah.
All right, well, you head...
And I am carrying the scatter gun.
Yeah, you head back around to the stables, and you saw the marshal had a horse out of at the house, at the banker's house. And you
no,
saw
I
the horse...
There.
Oh, you're right. We saw the horse that the deputy was riding. It's a very nondescript brown horse. You get to the stables, and you see, you know, a few stalls with the same kind of nondescript brown horses. And you see one stall at the end where the paddock gate is open.
Okay.
All the others are shut tight.
Yeah, I'll go check.
Okay. Make me a notice check or investigation. One of the two.
Do I might? That's what the same thing. Do okay. I minus 2 for those?
It's divide by 2.
No, but it's sight. Do I get a -2?
Yes, you do.
So 0.
Okay. It's dark.
It's a miracle I saw the door.
Missing an eye, and you've been drinking.
But the drinking has nothing to do with this.
106 miles to Chicago. We got a full tank of gas, half a pack of cigarettes. It's dark, and we're wearing sunglasses.
Hit it. Exactly. You ride back over to the house, and the marshal is leaving.
Okay.
He's called a few guys in, and they're sort of grumbling to each other, but because they were out celebrating, but they've got buckets and rags, and it looks like this is sort of his cleaning crew.
Right.
But he's leaving the house, and looks like he's getting ready to head back.
Yeah, he's like, I got deputies to deal with that crap.
Yep, exactly.
Marshall, you might want to come back to your office with me.
Pourquoi? Why?
Maybe you and I can walk over here and talk about it, because I don't want to tell him in front of all the other people.
Roll me persuasion check. 6. Aces. Yeah. The answer. This way.
Man, yes.
He walks over to the side.
So I tell him that we went to the gravesite, found the grave was open. And I maybe don't tell him about the upper body
part, because
I don't believe that anyway. So maybe there's a band of thieves, or his gang is trying to make it look like he's back.
And you did not come here to me, you went to the office first?
Well, we wanted to make sure his guns were still there.
The guns are in the evidence locker. Is someone breaking into my desk?
No.
Roll me a persuasion check. -2.
4.
No, it's at a -2. That's a 2.
Yeah. That's a 2.
You just
Americans.
And you roll 1 on your stealth, and you roll 20 on your bluff.
Right.
and he just begins. He gets onto his horse and goes to ride across the square. You're in the office looking through the journal, and you see a few dated entries Do you parlay the Francais?
I don't speak no frog.
You see, you can cash.
That's why he carries this one around.
You can catch.
Right. Yeah.
You make out a few things. You see the name Asher, for sure.
Ah.
And you see a list of names in one spot, and you flip, you know, to earlier dates, and you see some of those individual names and Asher mentioned together.
Oh yeah, did he notice that he has a deputy's badge?
He didn't seem to have. And so you're like looking back and through, and you go, Asher, name. Asher, name. Name, name, name.
Okay.
And you see the names James Marsters.
Hmm?
You see Henri Manteau and Jeunesse Manteau, who you already know are, congealing pools of blood right now. You see the name Sherry, C-H-E-R-I. It's capitalized, so it's easy to tell that it's a name.
Right, it's a name, yeah.
And you see another name that's actually written in English, oddly enough, but it's Talks with Clouds, hyphenated.
Okay.
And that's what you get. Are you attempting to open a drawer or anything?
Well, there's the drawer that looks obviously like it's the fortified one.
Yeah, yeah.
And I will open it. I'll see if one of these keys open it.
You try the keys, and none of them seem to fit the lock. But as you, the one goes in, but it just sort of clicks. But as you pull out, it catches on the edge, and the drawer opens. And there's a strong box inside there that's lying open.
Well, I'll just pull it open all the way.
Yeah, you pull the drawer open all the way.
Set the keys down on the desk.
And you see inside a strong box, top flipped open, looks like it's a velvet-lined interior. Just big enough for two hog legs.
And they're obviously not there.
Not there at all.
All right. Sitting in the marshal's chair.
Uh-huh.
Make yourself at home.
Push back. And wait.
It takes about a minute. And
while I'm waiting, I light a cigarette or a cigar. Probably a cigar.
Yeah. You light a cigar. The marshal walks in and begins cursing a blue streak in French.
I can feel that in.
Something about his parents and
a whole lot of church swears is guaranteed.
And his mother having relations with a horse. And what are you? What are you doing on my desk and your feet? And you opened the.
Deputy let me in.
George wanted me here.
Like he's just...
You got a problem, Marshal.
Give me one good reason why I do not banish you from this town immediately.
I'll give you a few good reasons.
One will suffice.
Well, how about James Marsters, Sherry, and Talks with Clouds?
But they... I...
And I'll push the journal towards him.
And his face sort of falls a little bit, and he looks at the page, and he begins, you know, reading it to himself in French, and he... You pick up what he's catching.
Lamb fill at the stables?
Oh yeah, you're back at stables. Yeah. You know.
And I've left the drawer all the way open.
Oh yeah. His face just sort of falls a little bit, and he grabs a charcoal pen from his, you know, little cup on his desk and crosses out Henri Manteau. and Jeunesse Monteau, and then looks over at the drawer. And he immediately checks his belt. And his keys are still there. Mm-hmm.
I open up my coat so he doesn't see that I have those guns.
Yeah, and he looks, he walks over and he checks your gun belt. He goes out and he checks the drawer out in the lobby. There! And you hear a kick and the desk goes sliding across the room. And he comes back in, and
he just connected a few dots.
I might have heard that. So I could go back.
You hear him shout that? Yes.
Right.
What is it? So the man, the outlaw that we have been searching to capture for months on months, we killed him dead this morning.
Yep.
We bury him in an unmarked grave.
Yep.
You're missing a horse for that.
The swearing begins again. And this time you've got it all, and it's the air is turning blue in front of you.
I give another whistle for like appreciation of this.
Mister.
Yeah, you didn't know that sexual positions could be that intricately described.
French is a very precise language.
Oh yeah, yeah. Like you've got longitudes and latitudes and everything. I mean it's ridiculous. And he says, and then two people that he was after somehow, for some reason, wind up dead. His grave is open. His guns are missing. And his horse is gone?
Well, you only have the regular ones, mon ami.
He was down at the end stall. That stall is closed. Yes, there is a black horse with a white front fetlock in
there. That stall, it waves in the wind, mon ami.
He grabs a whiskey bottle off of his desk and just dashes it against the wall.
Well, now that's just a waste of good whiskey.
It was empty.
All whiskey is good for one of them.
Looks like your noose had a loophole.
The man was... Were you here? Did you see the hanging?
Yep.
Yes.
5 full minutes.
I'm still
minutes.
Sitting there with my feet up on his desk.
Five, and he's just ranting and raving. Five full minutes, he hung there.
Keep the desk outside.
The coroner checked his pulse.
Yep.
Children poked him with sticks.
Yep.
And why do you have a deputy's badge on? Who deputized you?
He did. Look, mister, I've been riding with him for weeks
I needed a
now.
Deputy to let me in.
Believe me, you're better off just going with
him. And someone dug him up, yes. Two doubting Thomas.
This is... He goes to sit down in his chair. And he goes out to the other room and grabs the chair from the other desk. Pulls it around the side, on the opposite side of the drawer. Pulls out a bottle of brandy. Pulls out two brandy snifters. Pulls out a cigar. And this eerie calm just sort of seems to... the calm of people who are past the point of dealing with something. Like, they just can't. And he stops. He takes the cigar and he...
You should probably bring your deputy in.
And he...
As he's putting it to his lips...
And he snips the end.
I go...
and he leans the cigar. He lights the cigar. Pulls out the bottle of brandy. Pours some in the snifters. Looks. Pulls out two more glasses. Pours brandy. Looks at you. Fills your glass up a little more. And leaves the cork in the bottle.
I've somehow produced a turkey leg from one of my cool
of course you have.
I take that extra full glass, and since I don't drink that crap, I go bring it to his deputy outside, who would probably appreciate it more.
So he's still talking to the dog.
And he pauses.
Well, he might share it with the dog.
Actually, you go out there, and the dog is just sitting there, and the deputy seems to have wandered off.
The dog has the deputy's hat.
Yep.
So I go look around. Just I go back in.
You set the brandy snifter down. The dog begins laughing at the brandy.
Your deputy seems to have wandered off on it. Not the new one. The old one.
And
it's okay.
And he just stops and he takes a draw with a cigar and just sort of waves that concern away. It's a minor import at this point in time. He says,
"Doesn't matter.
Mon ami, you seem to have experience in these matters.
Yep.
And I fear the point at which I was in over my head is long since passed.
Yep.
I am open to all suggestions that don't involve my death."
Alright.
And
where are these people?
And he takes the snifter and he dips the unlit end of the cigar in there and takes a draw.
That's really unduly
awesome
limiting
to do
him.
If
you
he smokes cigars, by the way. Cigars are great. Anyway.
He's not allowed involving his
and
death.
And he says,
like,
well, two of them, their locations I know. The third is, you could be anywhere around. James Marsters runs the livery here in town. Sherry is, she is often available for the entertaining
yep.
of gentle.
Say no more.
And talks with clouds, and he actually spits a little bit. He's really not a fan. Is a Metis hunter.
So why were you?
I haven't seen him in a week or more.
What are their connections to Mr. Asher?
I've been getting various reports of dealings that he had had with these individuals over time. Cherie is no surprise. She'll sleep with anything that has something that dangles between his legs, as long as the money's there. Monsieur Marsters...
I'll nudge you with that one.
Monsieur Marsters apparently got on Asher's bad side over the matter of a horse. Very horse that Asher rode until recently. You can tell that his mind started to go down and it just brick wall.
Like, nope.
Not doing that. And he stops and takes a sip of brandy, draws a cigar, and the last, well, suffice it to say, it is not difficult for talks with Claus to get on someone's bad side. He has a way about himself. That he has had dealings with Asher, either for good or ill, surprises me not one bit. However, he takes another draw of the cigar. If people are ending up dead, no matter my distaste for these people, the connection cannot be overlooked. I suspect someone from his gang came in, and he begins, you know, holding forth about how his gang must have been fortified by his death and has rallied.
That's what it is.
Finally, a reasonable explanation for
everything.
That's
really what happened. Repeat how he shouldn't have given him any alcohol because he doesn't hold it well.
Now.
And as you begin to speak, someone comes running into the marshal's office, looking around. Monsieur, monsieur! At the livery.
Yep.
And like that calm, that placid lake effect he had going on just shatters. And he stands up and dashes, he puts the cigar into the brandy. It's not high enough proof to catch on fire, fortunately. It sizzles out, and he just bolts out the door.
Reckon we need to go see Sherry.
If she's still alive.
She's the only one who we know a location on who is, who might be.
I'm never sad to see a lady.
That's good.
Alright, well, you guys...
That's good to know about you.
Taking your horses?
I had my concerns.
Well, there are some horse thieves about. I'm bringing my horse.
Okay. Alright.
I just look behind me. Yeah, we're fine.
Yeah, your horse just stays.
Someone could try to steal the horse. The horse won't go anywhere.
No. But you guys make your way. There is a seedier side of town, obviously. I mean, you with your eye for the ladies, you're like, it's this way.
Yes. As soon as
I'm like, well, I've learned in my time to follow the man who knows these things best.
As soon as they put in the rear line, it's eerie. This side, wrong side of the track.
Yep, pretty much. Yeah, yeah. 6 months the rail line's been around and there's already a wrong side of the tracks.
Oh, yeah.
And you head to the wrong side of the tracks.
Yep.
And
I follow the well-dressed men.
Yeah, and there's a
silhouette of man. Me, or a man, John, me, horse, dog, rat, bunny,
cockroach,
and
too small to be seen with the silhouette.
And you guys, you know, you walk over there, and there's a rowdy, raucous saloon, and there are women dressed in their bordello finest, hanging out on the porch. You know, there's three or four of them. Sitting out there, smoking cigarettes.
And John Gee whistles appreciatively.
and they say,
"You seem to be impressed."
Ah, monsieur, come by. Come and join us. Let us buy you a drink.
Do you know...
Or you can buy us a drink.
Do you know where we can find Chérie, mon chérie?
Chérie is...
I'll direct the horses over to where they need to be.
They all follow.
And I'll just go inside.
Conging.
I'll just play. Walk up the steps and go inside.
Ah, but monsieur, you could...
Chunk.
He very much like to see Sherry.
And you walk into the light and they see you. And they have a difficult time. They sort of have to rein in their reactions. And
I pull out a dollar and I flick it their way and I go, "He really would like to speak to Sherry."
Sherry is inside. She's seeing someone.
And I just walk in when they say inside.
Are you hanging out on the porch?
No. I'm already talking to like three girls while they're doing all this.
Alright, their rates are very reasonable.
Nice.
Recoil from the one eye.
Are they speaking French?
Yes.
Also, you go, Cherie.
Ah, American.
Yep.
The prices just went up.
Occupied currently. She's inside.
Cherie.
Monsieur, she is inside.
Yep.
American.
She's not going to be occupied much longer.
Okay, intimidate.
It's like American.
Oh, wow, that's mighty too. How about I?
Benny it?
Benny that one.
First Benny of the night.
Slightly better. Much better. That's a 9.
She's in.
And I should have gone.
Four. Room 4.
Set her on the head.
Needed elsewhere.
And I'll walk away for a second, come back and go upstairs, downstairs.
Yeah. She just points.
Right. And I'll go upstairs.
So you...
Can I follow him?
You go to walk up the stairs, and there is a man standing at the bottom of the stairs. Arms crossed.
You have to move.
About 6'3". His arms look like your legs.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
You have to move, Mon Ami.
Louise told me to go right up. She's going to come meet me there.
Persuasion check.
My, you're a tall fella.
He just nods. Persuasion. He's Mati. He's half Indian. He's...
A 2.
No one goes up without a girl.
Louise.
And back into one of the girls I was just talking to.
I thought you were... Oh. They're with us, sweetie. It's a special. I've got more than one place for each of them.
Nice.
And he sort of...
I could debauch the game.
Shudders a little bit and steps to the side.
Thanks, Tiny.
Yes,
as I walk past him.
I flick him a coin, a dollar coin, and say,
do me a favor, make sure we're not disturbed.
You're about this far away from him, it gets this far away from you, and his hand just dart... Like, you almost don't see his hand move. And he goes back to...
Thanks.
And he just sort of almost imperceptibly nods. Alright, well, you guys head upstairs, and Louise goes to another room marked with a 6 and just shuts the door. And just down the hall, now there's 8 rooms, 4 to a side. It's odds on one side, evens on the other. So room 4
so right
is
beside.
Room 4 is the second door down on the left.
Alright.
Beside Louise's place.
Mm-hmm. I'll go down to that door.
All right, it appears to be shut and locked.
Chomp, chomp, chomp.
You don't hear anything.
I'm going to go into Louise's room, stick my head out the window.
Okay.
Keep an eye out for any kind of daring escape.
You poke your head out the window. She pinches your ass. Apparently, you're her type.
I'm just taking the air.
You see like the gaudy red curtains, sort of flutter out of the adjacent window. You don't see anything other than that. Don't hear any sounds coming from the room either.
I kick the door open.
You kick the door open, and you do so just in time to see a gaunt figure with shorter length, greasy, raggedy hair, pistol in hand, squeeze the trigger, and put a round right through Sheree's head.
Okay.
And dives out the window. You see a shape. Dive right out of the window.
And I just stay under my breath. Shit. And go after him.
Okay. He hits street level, rolls, and starts booking it.
Okay, so I know what direction I left in, at least.
Well, he's running into the darkness.
Cursed darkness.
Yeah, so, and you out the window?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Let's see. What's agility? Make me an agility roll, please. Yeah, and your running die is pretty good, too, so.
Yeah, I know. That would be a 7.
Okay, yeah. He kicks the door open. You see all this happening, too. He goes and jumps out the window. You hear him tuck and roll outside there, and you take off in the direction that mm-hmm. figure is going.
So I go to
you're hanging
six.
Out the front of the window.
Are the horses underneath where we are?
Oh, roll no. me a luck check, please. 3d6. Sixes are good luck. Ones are bad luck.
I have
a d6. Here, yeah, I keep the picked ones around for just such an emergency. Even the hard way. They are not down right below you, but they're just around the corner.
I wanted to jump onto my horse.
Well, hey, you see me whistle all the time, and that horse comes, man. And that horse is there.
You can try and whistle.
Yeah, I'm going to try and whistle.
Okay, you whistle. Make me... call it a persuasion check. Make me a persuasion check.
5.
Okay. You whistle, and a horse comes trotting around the corner. And you're like, I'll be damned. You can't tell in the darkness, but a horse comes trotting around the corner.
I jump down onto it.
Except for the size of the window and the size of your stomach are not exactly in alignment, and it's not in favor of
like
your stomach.
So, all right. Ha! Bonk!
Little like, help, Louise.
Just like Winnie the Pooh.
Because you dive arms first.
Oh, yeah.
You get your arms out, and you... You say, "Low help, Louise," and she begins massaging your butt.
Not that kind of help, Louise.
Oh. And she begins to reach down.
Whoa!
Oh, Nelly.
Maybe later.
I asked for the special.
We miss you. This is the window special.
Meaning she's done this before. Great.
The guy just jumped out the window. Uh-huh. When I look...
And so did Jacob.
When I look in the other room, he seems occupied, if not productively.
You she begins unbuttoning his fly.
Yeah, so I'll just turn and go back past our buddy.
Uh-huh.
Downstairs.
Okay.
And go fetch my horses. Just like in different...
Okay, yeah, you get out around and go front. His horse doesn't seem to be there.
Okay.
His horse and your horse do.
I'll take my horse. See, horse thief okay. around, I knew it.
All right.
The dog's still there?
Yeah, the dog's not there, neither is the bunny, and now that you can see the rat is gone too, and it doesn't appear to be a cockroach either.
Okay.
She gets the drift that you're not looking for the window special.
Are there any dog paw prints?
Oh yeah, just around the corner.
So I can grab a torch and try to follow them?
Yeah, for sure.
They're tracking him?
Yeah, you go around the corner, and you see him with a very puzzled expression on his face, sticking halfway out of this window. You see,
and then I see the
his horse down below with the dog and the rat and the rabbit and the cockroach. You think there might be a flea on the back of the cockroach, but you're not sure.
Kind of hard to tell.
And...
Oh, what are you doing behind with Jacob's horse, mon ami?
Behind you, you hear... And you feel this sharp pain in your butt as she kicks. And you go... And
I can back my horse safely out of the way for those.
And you hear... It's accompanied by this cracking sound... You tumble down. Make me an agility check at a -2, please.
You're lucky it's just a -2.
You're remarkably agile for a man of your size. That's a 2.
Yep. I'm going to...
Oh, wait. Agility is a D8.
Oh, yep. So I'm going to take the back.
Yeah, hold off on that.
There you go.
Okay. -2 is a 3. So yeah, you the window frame around you breaks. You go falling out of the window. You are able to absorb a little bit of the damage. What's your toughness?
6.
Okay. I just rolled a 5 on that. So you land. And the frame breaks around your midsection, so you're able to crawl, and you pull yourself up off the ground, battered and bruised, but otherwise...
Just switch the cockroach, okay. You bastard.
Jacob, you are tearing ass across the prairie. Roll me your run and die.
It's a D10, right?
Yeah. That. It does not explode, but...
Yeah, well, that's a 9, 8, 17.
Okay. Yeah, you... Just 17. How did
my pace is an 8?
Oh yeah, plus the extra right.
Plus 9.
All right, cool.
17.
You just tear away. Your eyes begin adjusting because the moon's pretty bright out.
Sure.
You know, so you can see, and you see not too far in front of you is another figure. Similarly, you know, Paul and Ask, now he got a head start on you, but you are really close to catching up. And you can see the silhouette of a horse not too far away. You're going to get one more check and around to see. Okay, so what are you guys doing? You have the horses, and you can see like a sort of a almost like a trail of dust where these guys have been running.
Yeah.
I just look down at him, look at the trail of dust. Okay, when you're done playing Mon Ami, I'll be that way. Then I go after the...
I dust dirt off my shoulders, brush the broken window frame off my ample midsection.
And I still have that torch I grabbed, so...
Yep. Are you on your horse?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, I was on my horse when I went around the corner.
I'm on my horse now as well.
All right, your horse finally realizes that was you coming out and begins trotting.
Well, I mean, as I'm running, I can whistle or something like that. You know?
Okay, so we are going to...
In fact, I whistle and the horse moved out of the way when he fell.
We are going to move this to initiative.
Hello.
Hey. You got a plan, Dredd.
Oh, yeah.
Played in that game.
That's right. This is the guy that ran my Dredd game in Origins.
Oh, cool.
Yes.
Cool. We're good.
Okay. All right. So yeah, we're gonna move to initiative for this. So you should get a card at the start of every round. I don't think anyone has any edges that adjust when they get to go or anything.
That'd be level-headed, I think.
Quick gets you better than a five.
Yeah.
Level-headed takes the best of three. So
I think best, more kids.
I think level-headed is best of two. Improve level-headed is best.
Okay, yeah.
The guy we're fighting is not a regular remove.
No.
No. Okay, so
just some guy part of the group from the guy who was killed that morning. So that's
basically, I'm going to count down the numbers, and when your number comes up, it's your turn to act. You can always move your pace and do something else. If you want to do two things like firing twice, you can do that. It's a multi-action penalty to do so. You're going to take a -2 to each of those actions. And anytime you're firing a gun, that's shooting. If you're hitting something, that's fighting. If you're throwing something, that's throwing. It's pretty simple. So, nothing until 10. So, and I'll grab your card when your turn comes up. That way I can collect them all back in. So, mm-hmm. 10, you're up, sir. All
right. Well, this guy's getting fairly close to this guy. How far away from his horse at this point?
He is one round's worth of move away from his horse. He can double move and get onto his horse at this point in time.
Okay. All right. Well, I will, because I don't want the violent motion penalty. I'm going to go ahead and skid to a halt,
uh-huh.
draw, and shoot him.
Okay. All right. Do so, please.
But I will get a multi-action penalty for it.
Yep. Because it's quick draw. Yep. It's an action for him to draw, and then an action for him to shoot. So.
Okay.
Alrighty. Where is my shooting go? There it is. That's 6, 7, 8, 6.
Okay, 6. That's a hit. Mm-hmm. Roll your damage, please.
2d6 +1. Uh-huh. Standard peacemaker.
Yep.
6, 7 points of damage.
Okay. You shoot, and it looks like it stops him mm-hmm. a little bit, and he's just gonna pop a Benny to be not shaken.
Okay.
So. You can always spend if you're just shaken, you can spend a Benny to not be shaken anymore. Mm-hmm. Anytime you're shaken. If you take multiple wounds, then you can do the vigor roll to soak. And if you soak your last wound, your shaking goes away too. So. Okay. So yeah, he looks like he's gonna keep moving post this. So okay, so 10, 9, 9. Alright, now you are about 2 rounds worth of running away from this.
Well, I'm right.
Right. The horse's pace is 10.
Okay.
If they run, the run and die is a D8, I believe. So, D8, D10.
I think it's D10.
D10? Okay, so yeah. So you can...
I can't recall.
You can gallop there, or very close to where he is, should you choose to.
Yeah.
You're going to have to run to do so.
I'm going to get the horse to go, yeah.
Okay, so roll the run and die for the horse. D10.
D10?
Yep.
You said 8.
I was wrong.
And wild die?
I don't even know if I'm right.
No wild die. 10 makes sense. Pace it. Match the pace up with the run and die. Makes perfect sense for the way the system's set up.
17.
Okay, yeah. You break the horse into a gallop, and you get to actually right behind where he was. And you see him standing there, peacemaker level, at a figure that is about, let's see what it would be, about 30 yards distant. And you see a horse right near there. Okay, so 9, 8, 7.
So I saw him supposedly shoot this guy who's still standing, right?
Yeah, you saw him.
Some kind of armor, mon ami.
You saw him take a shot. You saw the shot hit. Well, you know, actually, you heard the gunshot. You were far enough back in time, so you heard a gunshot. That's all you heard. All right.
Am I in reasonable shooting range, or am I pretty far away still?
Given the visibility, not within reasonable shooting range. If it were daytime.
Right.
Yeah, you'd be fine.
Okay. But, I'm going to run.
Okay.
Kick the horse into a gallop. All
right.
So.
17 as well, yeah. So you guys are all right there. Your horses are running very quickly tonight. You're running very quickly tonight. So, yeah. You pull up. You get beside her, and you see the same thing.
You heard
the
gunshot.
And you see him gun leveled.
My horse is probably just behind them.
Yeah.
So.
Gun leveled at this figure that appears to be moving towards another horse.
All right.
So, the figure turns, stops after this shot hit it. It stops, and turns, and almost faster than you can see, has a gun in each hand, and sees you, gun level.
Mm-hmm.
And you hear, again, it's just this eerie, it's almost a whisper, but it comes to you just clear as, should not have done that. And fires two shots at you.
Okay.
What is his? Alright, first shot's a six. Second shot is a... Actually, no, not even going to do that. Keep that one. Is a four. So,
all right.
Two shots hit, so that's two... two peacemakers.
Mm-hmm.
That's 11 plus... All right, that is 14, which is a hit and two raises. And you're going to have to soak them individually if you want to, so would you like to...
Yes.
All right. So spend that to soak. So yeah, he spends the chip and he's going to roll his vigor to try and soak this, because right now he's...
Pretty not bad.
Gonna, yeah.
That will soak one level.
Okay, so you are shaking with a
vigor.
All right, and the second shot is 9, which is just a hit and a raise, but that puts you your third wound.
Okay.
All right, so yeah, you have three wounds, and you are shaken.
So?
Yeah, this game is deadly.
Hence the name.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay, so yeah, he's taking his shots, and it is time for a new round of cards. Four, king. Six, and seven. All right. You're up, sir. You can make a spirit check to come out of your shaken. A raise will let you act. That bodes well for you.
6, 11, minus 3 is a 8.
You are able to act, so that's a success and a raise.
I will, crouching down to take benefit of some more cover.
That'll give you a plus 2, mm-hmm. or a minus 2 distance attack.
Yeah. I will take another shot at him with the pistol.
Okay.
With the peacemaker. That will miss.
Okay. Yeah. It is dim. You can. You're aiming at a silhouette. I'm not
yeah.
really.
Yeah. Well, that, and I'm also, you know.
Oh, yeah.
From being shot twice.
Yeah. Yeah. You're bleeding just a bit.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. You shoot, and it just sort of careens off. Okay. So. King 7. He chuckles again. And he's aiming this time because he's just not moving.
Mm-hmm.
So he's going to get a plus 1 on these. And he's just going to level two shots right at you.
Okay.
So it's down 2, up 1. So it's a net minus 1.
Mm-hmm.
And that aced. So that's a 7. That's a 6. That's one hit.
Okay.
And that 10 aces.
Ooh, that's going to be rough.
That is a net 10, so that's okay. one regular hit and one hit with a raise.
Right, I got no bennies left.
Yep.
So.
All right, so here's the one hit. Is 8 points of damage. What's your toughness?
My toughness is 5. So.
I didn't ask you that the last time.
That
I didn't check your toughness at all.
My toughness is 5.
Okay, taking into account what happened for damage last time, just put yourself at 2 wounds. Because
yep.
I'm gonna retroact that.
Okay.
So your toughness is a 5, so that is, well, you can put that. Well, that's just a shaken because
right.
it's not a hit with a raise. So that's just the one shaken for that one.
Mm-hmm.
But the second one was a hit with a raise, and that is 6, another wound.
Okay.
Your toughness is a 5, so.
You are now shaking at 3 wounds.
Shaking at 3 wounds, exactly.
Okay.
All right, cool. Sorry about that. I should have asked the first time around. All right, so 7-6.
Does stomping the horse count as an action? Or?
No.
I want to try using Beast Friend on the guy's horse.
Okay.
It says range is smart times 100 yards, so it should
okay.
be able
oh,
to
yeah,
do it.
Well, yeah. yeah, definitely do it.
I just don't know what I'm supposed to roll.
Roll your smarts.
Smarts?
Or actually, do you have a martial arts?
You should have...
The skill I probably... It should have been written in.
maybe?
Did I write it in there? I didn't write it in. Okay. Well then, oh yeah, you should have had a knowledge key mastery or something. You would have it at a D8, so roll a D8 plus your D6. A success means that it is just not hostile to you. A success in a range means it's your new friend. Grazie.
Six, 6 aces. Aces.
Holy crap.
6 8 20.
Okay.
Not only is it your friend,
like,
it just made you breakfast.
I believe. All right. So you now have a new friend. It's a free action at this point in time. But given the amount of raises that you had, it's a free action for you to tell it to do something.
Okay.
You've got like an empathic link with it at this point in time. That was a lot of raises. So what would you like the horse to do?
I just wanted to like go around the other guy. Don't let that bad man near you.
Trample the dude.
Yeah. Kick him.
Yeah, I screw
him. And you would like him to go around this morning.
Okay.
So the horse basically comes to you.
Yeah.
Yep. So, and he sort of looks. and he sees.
You've also made a new enemy.
He sees you like look, and your hands glow, and
the horse's eyes glow, and it's like, wait a second.
And he says, and again, just clear as day, I'll deal with you.
Okay, mon ami.
Alright, your turn. You are on the horse right there.
Yep, I'm gonna shoot him.
Okay, and you've got steady hands, so you're not gonna take any penalties for firing from the back of the horse.
Yep.
Did you have your gun drawn already?
No, so
okay,
I
it's
to
a
draw
move it. To draw it, okay. And it's an action to draw and then an action to shoot, so it's gonna be your shooting minus two.
Okay.
You're looking for a 4 total. Okay. You end up with a 2. You fire and your shot just goes wide. On the next turn, though, if you don't move when you shoot, you get an aiming bonus of +1. Which, I mean, +1 never sounds like a lot, but in this game, that it
if you're can, just trying to hit a 4.
Yeah, it can make or break whatever it is you're doing.
Bonuses and penalties in this system can help.
Ace 9, 3. Ace of spades has precedence over ace of clubs.
Yep.
Yeah. So, he stares you down, 2 guns, and he takes another set of shots at you.
Okay.
I should probably get the incapacitation table out here real quick.
Mm-hmm.
Except that one misses. And that is just 1 hit. Actually, given your cover, that one's going to miss as well, so he's going to spend a Benny on that one. He has the vengeful hindrance. So
that's fine.
That is still going to miss due to your cover. So he fires
he's too distraught over his horse.
And he begins growling
but
like he
horse.
Is not
what are you doing?
Not entirely pleased with the turn of events here. You're up, sir.
So I'm gonna do the double shot, so that's
double tap.
Attack, plus
yeah.
1 damage.
Yeah, plus 1 attack, plus 1 damage. So this is a net of +2 to your shooting.
Okay.
At this point in time. He's using double action peacemaker, that should really be that into account.
So that's a +2, so that's a 7.
Okay, you hit him.
Okay.
So roll your 2d6, so that's 9, 10, plus 5 is 15.
Plus 1 is 16.
I was adding that 9, 10 was the plus 1.
Right.
Okay, so his toughness is a 5, so you got a 16. So that is a hit and 2 raises. He is he's just gonna spend a bay not to be shaken.
Okay.
So he's got 2 wounds.
Alright.
A solid hit.
It is a solid
hit. Okay. Ace King 9.
On a 9, if my horse comes barreling up to me at that point, I will grab my horse and swing up onto it.
And the horse is like, God damn it, he's bleeding on me again.
Swing around and draw the scatter gun off of the horse.
Okay.
And, Basically, I'm going to try to ride, start move, become a moving target a little bit for this okay. round, because I don't, I won't have any chance of hitting him otherwise, so that's what
that
I do.
That is fine. Man, you think in the Tables of Doom they'd have the incapacitated table.
Probably.
They don't. It's in a different place.
Huh. Lame.
Okay, give me just a moment here, sorry. Oh, that's because it's not in this one. It's in the Swex.
Yep.
I
would be why.
Yep.
All right, good for morning, guys. It's just past midnight.
It's tomorrow.
Okay, here. Cool, I got that. Cool. Alright, so you are now a moving target with a scatter gun in your hands. Your turn. Sorry about that.
If I
And
do,
you have a new frame.
Yes. If I do three actions, but two of them are like punching or kicking,
mm-hmm.
do I only get the minus two penalty then?
No.
It would only be if I only
What's the third action?
Riding the horse towards the gun.
Okay, no, that's your move. You can always move your okay. pace or the pace of the animal you're on.
Okay.
So yes, you would just have a minus two to each of those.
And would it be just free to stick the horse on the guy if it comes to that, or would it not?
Pretty much.
Okay.
Get and only given the number of raises that you had, otherwise I would say it would be an action to command the horse, but okay. with four raises, eh.
Okay. So I'll ride the horse towards the guy, uh-huh. and my plan is to punch and kick him.
Okay.
So it's 10.
All right, do you have steady hands as an edge?
No.
All right, it will be an additional minus two because you're on a moving platform.
Okay.
You're not exactly used to fighting off of horseback.
But it won't. It'll only be one minus two then because I got the two-fisted. You said move
yes.
three.
Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
So that's five.
All right, his parry is...
Oh, sorry, that's three.
A six. So you're looking for a six.
Nope.
Not that one. You got one more attack. That one aced.
An eight. Nine is still your high. Well, nine is still your high one.
Oh.
So.
Nine minus two, seven.
Seven, so
yeah. Yeah, so you hit. Okay. Roll your damage. Which for you is, it's like using a club. It's strength plus d6.
Strength plus d6?
Yep. No, both together. Roll your strength and your d6.
Oh.
So that's
I
way,
need to figure out what my strength is. Six.
Yep.
No, eight. Eight.
Okay, and his toughness is a five, so that is one hit.
And I'll call the horse in for the second attack.
Okay.
So where are
we? All right, the horse is going to attack with a fighting of a d4. It's a horse.
D4 with a
Nope,
wild?
Just a d4. It's not a wild card.
Okay. Three.
Nope, the horse flails ineffectually at him.
Perhaps distracting.
But he is shaken, and he has suffered a... Just shaken.
He's shaken, yeah.
Yeah, just shaken. So...
And he's got a moral scar forevermore, because his horse attacked... Well, attacked,
Ace
obviously,
of diamonds.
The
King
twin
of, diamonds.
Of the original order.
Three of diamonds and... Three of hearts. Ace of diamonds.
I'm gonna... shoot him and try to do so in a non-fatal fashion because I want to talk to him, so
okay.
shoot him in the knee or something like that.
Alright, it's a called shot. It's a minus two. So...
18...
Whoa.
24... 28...
minus how many?
Okay. Roll your damage, please. It's 2d6 plus another d6 for the raise that you got. So that's 7.
6, 7, 13, 14, 15, 16.
I think
unfortunately, your
exploded.
Plan goes awry, and his knee does indeed explode, and he drops to the ground.
Alrighty.
That was crazy.
I'll ride up to him.
Okay. The only thing that exploded more than my dice.
Groan as I get off the horse.
You telling me he gives away just because his knee exploded? What kind of bad guy is that?
I'll lean down and I'll pick up his guns.
Okay, you now have a pair. They're just double action Colt Peacemakers. They're nice guns, but
I reckon we need to put him back where he belongs.
You're gonna put him in his twin's place?
I look at him and wait for a moment and go.
You're putting him in his twin's place.
In the moonlight, you take a look, and it's the man that was hung.
He had a twin. It's impressive.
And I'll take down the rope off my horse.
Uh huh.
Tie it to him.
Okay.
Tie the horse, and then groan as I get back up on the horse.
Make me a guts check, please, and you make me a knowledge of cult check. And when you make a guts check too when you hear him say that.
It'd be a 5.
It's at a -2 because
what did I hear him say?
That we need to put him back where he came from.
Then 9.
We're putting him where his twin is.
Make me a guts check anyway. Yeah. And you are you a Doubting Thomas as well? Yeah.
Yes.
So 5. So you get a -2 to
3.
This. You are shaken. You're like oh God, that actually is. You don't believe it for a second.
Have a twin brother.
It's a dummy, it's a mannequin, something. Alright, so yeah, you tie a rope around him.
I got a 5 on my knowledge card.
Okay, that's a success. It's not usual for those that were hung to be able to get back up and walking around. Something's tickling in the back of your brain about something else you might need to do before you put him in the ground, but you can't quite come up with it.
It's the best I can do.
All right, yeah, but you tie him up and ride him back
to him back down. Take him back down to where he was buried.
Okay, take him back to the burial site.
I'll have his horse with me. Tie the thing around the...
Okay. Yes.
It'll only last 10 minutes, so the horse is eventually...
Okay, well, I mean, still probably a well-trained horse, so, you know, you still have a horse run. So, yeah, are you going right through town?
Yeah. Most direct route for me.
You guys go right through town.
The entire town.
Bodies bouncing
roll.
Around behind. Fortunately, it's gotten into the evening. And roll me a luck check.
That means we can have another party.
And I'm resting with one. Mm-hmm. One down.
Okay. There are some screams. And the marshal hears the screams and comes out and sees who it is and goes to tell the person who's screaming just to calm down. Yeah, you make it back to the burial site.
Hop down, untie him, stuff him back in his hole.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. I believe in saying a few words.
Go right ahead.
Good riddance. I fire the scattergun twice into the hole.
Okay.
Into the guy.
Okay.
Just for good measure.
Roll me a luck check, please. 2 of them, actually. Okay.
One down.
One down, and even.
Okay.
Hard one.
All right, just... Cool. All right, yeah.
Boom, boom.
You do so. Cover him up with dirt.
Oh, before I do so, I toss his guns in with him.
You toss his guns down in there, you cover him up with dirt.
Unload him first.
Oh, fair enough.
And then I put the guns in.
Okay, never said anything about ammunition.
Yeah. And, you guys ride back into town.
Peaceful country you got here.
You let the marshal know that something was amiss. He's now been riding.
You dealt with that twin brother of his.
Take your ease for a few days. Rest, recuperate. You've got some scars from what happened. But it's about time you figure your work here is finished. You've got some new material for your dime novel.
Oh, do I?
You've got some time back in the motherland.
Got some good beer.
See, might be time to head a bit southwards. Check out the Dakotas. You've heard Deadwood can be mighty interesting.
What I hear.
And you pass about three or four days, and in montage fashion, you guys are riding to the west, the sun's rising behind you. And the camera, yeah, dog, bunny,
rat,
cockroach. There's an elephant back there somewhere.
Let go.
And the camera pans mm-hmm. back to the grave,
mm-hmm.
and a hand yep. breaks up through. Another one breaks up through. They disappear real quick. We don't work for the convention.
There
weren't any seats, so we just sat.
No, you guys were cool.
And
there was a guy with a computer just like you.
And they come up with two Colt Peacemakers.
Right.
Fade to black.
Nice.
Sweet. Nice. Thank you.
Paying attention now?
Yes.
All right. Hello and welcome to the Red Phone Zone, where we don't know what we're talking
about. Hey, we do know what we're talking about. You know, we called the whole Hugo Weaving Red Skull thing, remember?
Oh, right. Fine. Where was it? The Red Phone Zone, where we talk about all kinds of gaggles.
Aaron, could you cut it with the gaggles thing? It's not working for me.
All right. Fine. The Red Phone Zone, where we talk about movies, comics, video games. But
don't forget that we talk about, you know, Bruce Campbell and Christopher Lee, obviously.
Natalie Portman.
All right, guys! I'm trying to do a commercial for the Red Phone Zone, where we talk about movies, comics, video games, tabletop gaming, all kinds of other geek stuff.
You mean that show we broadcast on Ustream?
Yes!
Wednesday, 8 Central Standard Time.
Right, at redphonezone.com. Now, can you guys just give me a minute to get this promo done?
Sure, sorry, dude.
Yeah.
All right, from the top. Hello and welcome to the Red Phone Zone.
Hey, Aaron, we need a tiebreaker. Okay, who would win in a fight with Galactus?
Anti-Monitor.
Galactus and Anti-Monitor. Come on.
I think the more important question would be who would win in a fight between me and you two idiots.
I guess we don't know what we're talking about.
You've been listening to the Gamers Haven Podcast. Subscribe to the show by visiting our website at gamershavenpodcast.com, where you can also discuss all things gaming in our forum, drop us an email, or just peruse our episode archives. You can also call us toll-free and leave a message to be played on the show by dialing 1-877-416-1270. That's toll-free, 877-416-1270. On our website, you'll also find our actual play podcasts chronicling our misadventures through all things role-playing. Enjoy what you hear? Why not support the Gamers Haven by purchasing Gamers Haven merchandise, visiting our affiliates, or just by clicking on our donate button? The Gamers Haven podcast is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial, Share Alike 3.0 United States license, some rights reserved. Some music in this podcast is used with permission of Joe Hero Band at joehero.com. This is a Thousand Monkeys production.
This concludes the broadcast from World Control.